Well, if you're new to our church, you picked a great time to join us because we're going to be talking today, actually for the next two weeks, we're going to talk about how do you make your home church feel more like home. And if you are not new to our church, you're going to hear me use some stronger language on this than I've used before. This is something I've always been convicted of, but boy, more than ever as I wrestle with the scriptures today. We got a lot to cover in this series. We only have 2 weeks to do it, so let's dive right in. If you have your Bibles, let's open up. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look first at verses 19, 20, and 21. Luke chapter 8, verses 19, 20, and 21. I want to let you know, too, as we're opening our Bibles, we keep a stack of them at both doors there, and they're for you. If you don't have a Bible at home, we'd love to give you one free today. Please just take one. That's what they're there for. Here we go, Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 19. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near Jesus because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." And he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Let's talk about this passage. It's important to know that Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience. And that's important because it gives you some context here. The Jewish culture was a culture that elevated the family ideal to the extreme. They really were big into family. In fact, in generations prior to this, what was the penalty to dishonoring your parents? Anyone know? Kill them! Death penalty for dishonoring your parents. So this is a group, right? This is a culture where family was held in extremely high regard, extremely high regard. And it's also important to know that Jesus doesn't, throughout the course of his ministry, he doesn't redefine family or devalue family as it was established in the beginning. What he does here in passages like this, he adds greater perspective as to why God established families in the first place. And this came out in a number of my sources as I went in and dug into this passage and looked at the different resources this week. Here's one of the things that I came across. It's from the IBP Bible Background Commentary. Great resource, by the way. It says this: thinking of one's co-religionists, that's got to be a made-up word, isn't it? Thinking of one's co-religionists as brothers and sisters. Sometimes people make up words just to make themselves sound smart. And Paul did it because the Spirit inspired him, but that's neither here nor there. Thinking of one's co-religionists as brothers and sisters was common. Respecting older persons as mothers and brothers or fathers, that was widespread. But allowing ties in the religious community to take precedence even over family ties, it was unheard of in Judaism, except when a pagan converted to Judaism and regarded his new family as more important than his old one. Now, a number of us, we would word this a little differently, but the overall point is well taken here. The overall point is well taken, and the overall point is, hey, what Jesus said was shocking to this audience. That's the big picture. What Jesus said was shocking to this audience. Jesus was inviting diverse people into a family the likes of which the world had never seen. There had never been a community like this in the history of humankind. They became like a family. These early Christians became like a family. And through these brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news was proclaimed and hope was restored. The lost were welcomed home. Believers were challenged. Resources were well stewarded. Strangers became friends. Relationships were reconciled. Those in need found support. Empty religion found no foothold. Singles weren't alone. Families were strengthened. Young people were trained in the way they should go. Their neighbors were blessed, skeptics were astounded, and God was glorified. There's the Cliff Note version of what these early Christians did as they lived out this life as brothers and sisters. And as good as that was, what they were experiencing was just a shadow of an age that is yet to come. An age that we're promised is yet to come. Just as marriage and family, they're also shadows. As good as it can be, that's also just a shadow of what's to come. A day is coming, according to the scriptures, when all those who are in Christ, we will experience a joy-filled, more perfect unity, very much like the unity that's experienced in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to experience a unity more like that. And through family, what the world is supposed to see, they see a glimpse of what's coming. When they see a family operating the way it's supposed to operate, the world looks at that and we're supposed to get a glimpse. Oh, one day it's going to be like that for us. And when they see the church family come together, the world's supposed to see that and go, one day, this is what life is going to be like when God is king in a way that we don't experience right now. Family, as it was established in Genesis, and family, as Jesus extended the metaphor, family is God's plan A to do these things, and there is no plan B. Did you hear that? Family, these two types of family, this is God's plan A. There is no plan B. Through family, Christians are to provide the world with a glimpse of what God's kingdom will look like when all is as it should be. Here's why this works. Every person longs for home. Every person longs for home. It doesn't matter when you were born. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Rich or poor, we long for home. Some of us, it's buried more. Some of it's right up there on the surface. Sometimes we choke up because we long for it. We long for home. And the church is uniquely positioned to offer an experience of home unlike any other. Because not everyone's going to get married. Even fewer are going to have kids. But everybody can experience family if the church steps up and does what the church is supposed to do. By strengthening and supporting your home church, man, we can make a difference. Please take a moment to write this down. And this is some strong language, I know, but give me a chance. Let me make a case here. I believe strengthening and supporting your home church is a got to. It's a got to. It's a thou shalt do. Jesus established the new community. He personally discipled its first leadership team. He died to make our entrance into it possible. He asked his Father to send his Spirit to be with us forever. A major theme, if not the major theme, of the entire New Testament is this new community. How it was established, how it grew and spread, how we're to function, and what's going to happen when Jesus returns for his bride, the church. You may call several different churches your home over the course of your life. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be planting these families all over the globe so that wherever you go, the world can see this family in operation. And wherever you go, there's going to be a family. Find it or start it. One of these unique families. If you're Christian, the Bible is clear on this. Strengthening and supporting your church, it is a got to. Here's just a couple subpoints to that. Number one, all of us in the scriptures, we're all instructed. Every believer is instructed to use your gifts and abilities to build up the body of Christ. Number two, every Jesus follower is expected to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ in ways that shockingly exceed cultural norms. We've gone there before as a congregation. Number three, our commitment to our home church affects our witness and outreach. We certainly saw that example in the passage that's up there, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Now, for the record, before I go any further, is this going to look the same for everybody? No. No. The way in which you can do this, the way in which you personally can support and strengthen your home church, it's going to look different for different people. There's life stage stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. For instance, if you have been burned or burned out, your job right now is to rest. And our job is to care for you and love on you and to hopefully inspire you and to bring a word from God for you and to provide opportunities. That's your job right now. And when your gauges get full, when your physical gauge comes back up, emotional gauge comes back up, spiritual gauge comes back, then you're in a different place. You know, for some of you, you don't have a predictable schedule, so this is going to look different for you. It's going to look like I can do what I can do when I'm in town, you know? Great. We can find things for you to do what you can do when you're in town. Absolutely. That's not a challenge for us. We can help you with that. Some of you have got kids. A lot of you have got kids. And for you, here's the thing. You need to know this. You know, don't worry about efficiency. That's not what this is about. This isn't about let's get things done as efficiently as we possibly can. No! One of the, my favorite things I see around here is when a parent is pushing one of our big carts. They load it up, and there's like four little kids helping to push the cart along, you know? I love that. It's not about how fast you can go. What a great witness that is. You're leaving a legacy for your kids. You're getting them involved. And the world gets to see, hey, we're all pitching in here. It's about ownership. It's about involvement. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's not about efficiency. It's not about we've got to get things done in a certain time. It's not about that. It's about ownership. It's about family. And there's others. I mean, you're going to be called to really step up, to lead a team, to take on one of these groups. You know, there's all kinds of different things. It's going to look different. Okay, we all deal with that. It's going to look different for different people, but all of us are called to do it, to do what we can in the stage that we're at. Now, lest you start thinking, oh, God, you are such a slave driver asking me to do something. Let's spend a few minutes talking about this. It's not just a got to, it's a get to. And we could go off two different directions on this. We only have time to go down one direction. The direction we're not going to go down to, it's a get to in the sense of, do you realize God could do this much better by himself? He would build a better church if he didn't include us in it, right? If you're a parent, you know this, right? Or if you're a teacher, you know. It'd be just easy. Listen, let me do it. Right? I bet there's sometimes God probably feels like, just, oh, you didn't just say that to them. You did. Oh, okay. So it's this privilege. We are invited. We're asked to be priests, it says in the Bible. We're ambassadors. So there's that whole crazy get-to piece there that God would even think to include us, you know, in building this thing. There's that. But here's the one I want to go down. The other reason it's a get-to, because then it's going to feel like family. That's how you're going to feel home. When you contribute. Here's straight up. This is just I'm not just adding a proof text to the end. This is actually what 1 John 5:3 says. This is love for God. Keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Repeat after me. His commands are not burdensome. They're not. They're life-giving. Sometimes they feel like a burden, but they're to bring you to life. And he promises to send his spirit. He promises we're supposed to step up and come alongside each other. It's not burdensome. Let me show you this. Here they offer exhibit A and B. We had a survey of our members. We had a survey of our members not too long ago. And this slide right here, it was an anonymous survey. And what it says up at the top is, we had a question that said, how easy is it on a scale of 1 to 5 to get involved here at ECC? Do you see those two big orange blocks? Those are the 4s and the 5s on a 5-point scale. Is it easy to get involved here? Yes, it is. It's easy to get involved here. Now, let me show you the second slide. It's not just easy. Look what happens when you do get involved. The question here was, how connected do you feel? Specifically, if something was going on in your life, would other members notice? The 4s and the 5s are the big ones again. Look at that. These two will rise and fall together. These two will rise and fall together. The more involved you are in something, the more connected you are to it. It's called ownership. Every manager, every boss, every teacher, every anything knows this. You get people involved. You give them ownership, and all of a sudden, everything changes. You won't just meet people the more as you serve. We used to emphasize that more. Yeah, that's still nice, but it goes beyond that. You now have ownership. You're a part of something. One of our newest members described ECC as, quote, a house church on steroids. That is one of the best compliments we can ever have. Because as a growing church, we can do things together that we could never do if it was just 8 of us, right? We can do things that we couldn't do if it was just 8 of us. But if we have a whole lot of people and they're just coming like a movie theater, I come, I pay my dues, I consume some sort of experience, and then I go, then we've failed epically. It's the both and. How can we do more together and we're doing it together? We're connected. We're part of this. We're part of the family. Which then brings us to the second one here. You know, strengthening and supporting churches is a get-to. It is a get-to because God's commands aren't burdensome. And let me tell you this. Are you looking for a church that feels like home? Join us in the kitchen. Right? I originally, when I was thinking this, I was going to word it, help us with the dishes. No, that's not the same. Because you can do that task and just feel like I'm just here doing dishes by myself. I could do a dishes. I could get paid for that, you know. Join us in the kitchen if you want this to feel like home. Join us in the kitchen. Now, let's pretend we're a small group for a second, okay? There's a reason why I'm not a small group facilitator, and you're going to see it right now. But let's pretend we're in a small group. And we're talking about this idea of join us in the kitchen. And what if a good small group leader asked it better than I'm going to ask it? But they asked it something like, what are some of the differences? What's the difference in the experience between going out to eat and having a home-cooked meal? What are some of the differences? How might you respond to that? What's a difference that comes to mind between going out to eat and having a home-cooked meal? There's an emotional connection. Yeah. Where are you more emotionally attached? Home. Yeah. Someone in the 9 o'clock, they said it's a lot more intimate, you know, to be at home. Yeah. Okay. What's some more? I'm a horrible facilitator. I told you. It's more... The food... Ooh. It's usually healthier to eat at home. It may taste, man, you're a better cook than I am, but yes, it could taste better, absolutely. And sometimes it tastes better because you helped participate, and sometimes because you actually did a better job. Very good. This is good stuff. Keep it coming. It's not a transaction. Say more about that. Yeah. Yes. When you go someplace, there's a monetary transaction. You are paying them for a service. When they're inviting over, it's a gift. Wow, this is really good. I'm not going to write any more sermons. I'm just going, hey, today I have a question for you. Let's keep going. Come on. Yeah, it's usually a more relaxed setting. You know, it's hey, it's just us. We're here. We're together. Doesn't matter if we get everything just perfect. Yep. A couple more. There's no TVs blaring. At your house, there's no TVs blaring. No, that's good. Yes. Right. Right. It's more focused. It should be anyway. It should be focused around. We're sitting around the table together. We're not paying to be distracted. It's actually part of the wonderful things about family. Yeah. It's usually cheaper to eat at home, right? You guys starting to see some parallels at all here with the church? And the difference it could make if we all started to have a different paradigm. We said, what if it was more like home? And I'm a part of this. And I'm part of making this happen rather than I'm coming and I'm expecting something. I think about the last time that our family went to International House of Pancakes, IHOP, that IHOP. The last time we went to that IHOP, we went there, and I'm not exaggerating, they didn't have buttermilk and didn't have ketchup. And it was either their knives or their forks, that they were out of clean knives or forks. So here we are, coming for pancakes, and I have kids that put ketchup on everything else. No buttermilk, no ketchup. Now, in a restaurant, I have an expectation that you should have buttermilk and ketchup at IHOP. And cutting with a spoon is just not working. But here's the thing. Think how different it is. That was my paradigm because it was a restaurant. At home, we're always out of something, right? You're always out of something. But it's like, oh, we're just out of something. What can we do? What can we do different? Or it's you know what? Today it is grab and go drive through, grab, munch, and go, you know, that kind of a thing. Because sometimes that's where your life is at. And when it's family, you get that. This is just what it is today. It is what it is. And I wish more people in churches around the country, I'm not talking just here, just I wish more people, more professing Christians would come to their church and not go, oh, I see they don't have a drummer today. Could it be because we don't have a drummer today? That's the reason we don't have a drummer today? Because no one has stepped up to play the drums today. Could it be that? Right here, no one's ever said this before. Honestly, no one's ever said this. But walking in here, they have a lot of parties here. Every Saturday night, there's lots of parties in this building. And there's always cigarette butts and all kinds of stuff. I clean up as much as I can on my way in, but there's always stuff. Someone should clean up those cigarette butts. Yes! us? Someone should. How about you? Here's again where Americans go, right? Americans go there. Well, don't we pay them to do that? Who talks like that? The world talks like that. Where's our citizenship, brothers and sisters in Christ? Where's our citizenship? It's another kingdom. What if we started living under that other kingdom? And instead of, this is what we pay them for, what if we said, no, this is what I do. And if no one else sees, God, you see. I'm just doing my best to honor you. See how that changes everything? You know, every week, or at least almost every week, and by almost I mean almost every week, we have first-time guests here at our church. Whose guests are they? Are they my guests? Are they Jennifer's guests? Well, she's the director of Care and Connections. You all are the directors of Care and Connections! You know, it's, what if we said, wait a minute, I'm part of a family, and we are inviting people to our home. Today, this is our home. Home is where our family is. What if every one of us started operating under that paradigm? We have guests coming at 9 o'clock. Would you ever, if you had guests coming to your house at for the first time, if they were coming at 9 o'clock, when would you be home? You know, what if we had that paradigm? I'm part of this. I'm a part of getting this ready for our guests. I want to contribute. I want to show you something. One of the reasons I'm so, when I'm extra passionate about something, it's usually two reasons. One, it's because I'm preaching to myself. And that's what it was during the money series. Or I feel like I was led along to something. And I can speak with extra authority because I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And my hope is every Sunday you hear from God because we open up the Word of God. And reading is hearing. I mean, God is speaking, right? Then there's those other weeks where you're like, oh, I wasn't planning on that. But I think God has something to say. This is a week. I wasn't planning on this. I think the Spirit has something to say. I was planning to preach out of Matthew. The passage we opened with in Luke has parallels. It tells the same thing in Matthew. It tells the same thing in Mark, and it tells the same thing in Luke. But it's not worded the same. I was planning to use Matthew. I felt I was led to Luke. Look at what comes right before we read. And by right before, I mean right before. Not earlier in the chapter, not earlier in the book. Right before. This is Luke chapter 8. These are the words of Jesus starting in verse 16. No one lights a lamp. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in, don't forget that phrase, those who come in can see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. Nothing is concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. I want to admonish you right now to listen carefully to what we just read, because this affects you, and it affects all of us, and it affects those of us who aren't here yet. I've always thought about this passage, about this being something that speaks to what happens Monday through Saturday, right? Let your light so shine. This is what happens, this passage. This is about what happens when we're out in our schools and our workplaces and in our neighborhoods. This is about that. This is about what happens out there. I believe the Spirit of God not only led me this passage, I believe the Holy Spirit whispered this week, hey, this applies to Sunday morning too. This passage applies to Sunday morning too. And so I started pressing into that. And I'm like, what's the context? What's the implied context? Where is this implied that this is happening? In our home. The implied context here is a home. Interesting. I never noticed the words that I paused on as I read it before. So that those who come in, those who come into your home. But I believe the Spirit didn't stop there. I believe the Spirit also whispered, I gave you an analogy here. Press into it. Don't press too deeply into my analogies. Press deeply into the ones that God gives. His are much better. Jesus says, Nobody does this. Nobody will take a lamp and light it and then put it under a bed. And I started thinking, okay, bed. Back then, what would a bed have been made out of? I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to guess. What would be your guess? It's probably as good as mine. Straw, maybe. Some kind of material that was flammable. It wouldn't have just dimmed the light, right? What might happen to your home if you're putting your light under a bed? You might start a fire, okay, in your home. Okay, now, this one got really interesting. Because when I was a kid, I used to sing a song in church. This is the light of mine. Anyone else sing that song? Okay, there was another verse to it. It said, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let you check. Does this passage say hide it, anything about a bushel or a basket? No. Matthew does. Mark does. What's the language used here in Luke? Jar. If you put a flame under a basket, the basket might catch on fire. It might just dim because the air can still get in. What happens if you put a jar over your flame? Flame goes out. Listen carefully, the word says. I never connected all these dots before. Now, as a former youth director with Mr. Creepy behind there, let me get to Mr. Creepy now. This was really something. We had a baptism earlier today, which was really neat. It was a father and son being baptized. And so here I am saying, do you renounce the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? And he's kind of like, you know, yeah, I do. It was interesting. All right, but I was thinking, you know, do I put such a bold illustration here, or is that just way over the top? Do I put a representation of the devil next to this illustration, or is that just you're stretching this too far? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the devil doesn't take Sundays off. And what would he like to do to us here? He'd like to do a lot of things. One of them, he would love for you to do this. To not contribute. Because when you're not contributing, then your light isn't shining. Because all you're doing is just doing what you could do at AMC Theater, at the Ordway, at a football stadium. You're coming, you're consuming something. You're not shining. There may be limited value because people might go, oh, what are they going to see? But you're not shining. And what will happen when you don't shine, it's just inevitable. You'll start to get more critical. You'll have expectations because that's just what happens. That's how our society is. The devil would love this for you and for us. And he would love to have you lighting fires around here, you know? Instead of using your light to shine, how many of you have ever seen that before? Somebody lighting a fire around the church somewhere? Anyone else? Hey, come on, help me out on this. All right, you've seen it? Okay. Instead of, I'm going to let my life shine, I'm going to bring helpful questions, I'm going to raise concerns in a God-honoring way, instead of just, it's all about me, and I'm going to blow things up. And so then, instead of us devoting our energy to caring for people, doing the best job we can, we're putting out fires, and the rest of the world looks at that, and they go, look at them. Some unity in Christ you got, you know. I don't think this is over the top. I think this is very true, that he would love to see us ignore this teaching. Now, again, let me just back up. Do I believe the passage we just read speaks about going out there and shining in your school? Yes. In your neighborhood? Yes. Out there? Yes, of course it is. But I believe the Bible is rich and it has layers. And I believe there's a layer here. And if we go to that layer, we start to see, you know what? This also applies to Western churches. May it not apply here. May it not apply here. And I want to say this too before we wrap things up. I fully understand right now by talking like this that it's risky, but I'll take these risks. I understand it's risky because everywhere you go, it's all about you, right? Society does that. Every marketing book you read, every class, you make it about them. Make it about the customer. Make it about them. Why do they do that? They do that because they want something from you, right? You know, think about this. A restaurant. I love going to a restaurant. They love me at my restaurant. Stop paying that restaurant. And see how much they love you and how long they feed you, right? It's all about you. Well, it's all about you because they want something from you. God wants something for you. He wants something for us. And I believe you're going to experience what he wants for you, this idea of home, as you have ownership. I believe he wants that from you. Well, there was a day when the way we're talking wasn't even possible. There was no such thing as a Christian consumer, because if you said, I'm in with Christianity, you put yourself at odds with the religious community. You put yourself at odds with the government. It could be a death sentence for you if you said, I choose Christianity. You did not do it because it was all about you. But hundreds and then thousands and then millions of people joined this family. Why? Because they saw something different in this new community who placed their trust in a crucified carpenter. What if we recommitted right here, right now, to honoring that legacy? What if we said, okay, we're in. We're in too. Get used to seeing this statement you're about to see, because this is where we're headed. This is what we're going to be about. As we increasingly live life worthy of the name that God gave us, we envision a church family through whom the gospel is proclaimed and hope is restored and the lost are welcome home and believers are challenged and resources are well stewarded and strangers become friends and relationships are reconciled and those in need find support and ugly church politics find no foothold and singles aren't alone and families are strengthened and young people are trained in the way they should go. Our neighbors are blessed. Skeptics are astounded. And God is glorified. Hashtag experience God with us. Hashtag all in. Hashtag this is what we do. You know, this is not about finding more ushers. This is not about filling open volunteer spots. This is about home. It's about home. It's about you finding a sense of ownership. It's about us being a family that others are welcomed into. Real quick as we close, here's a couple ideas. I don't know where to start. I don't want to start. Okay, here you go. You can pray for our church during the week. You could come early, and then don't park in the best spots. Let others have the best spots. Pick up trash on your way in. And if you're more task-oriented like I am, find something to do. And if you're more relationship-oriented like my wife, find someone to interact with and to talk and to meet. Join us 5 minutes early before the service begins. When do our guests start showing up usually here at our church? They show up ahead of time. They're early. So then they come in, and what do they find? They find an empty sanctuary. What if? Wow, look at these people. They really love this church, you know? Am I talking truth right now? I'm talking truth right now. So again, think through them. It's not about you in that way. It's about all of us, right? So what if, I just had this idea, I don't know. They think we're a cult, but might be good. What if we all set our alarms 5 minutes before the service? And all of a sudden, out there, all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep. Oh, got to go in. That'd be cool. I think it'd be cool. But of course, I'm the preacher, so I would think, cool. Other ways, things you can do. Everybody can do this. Save the best seats for our guests. I see you've done that already. Save the best seats for our guests, right? And those also, there's other people who have to come in and out. All right. Help us recycle our bulletins. Everyone can do that. You don't have to have the spiritual gift of bulletin recycling. Let others go first for cookies. Find a way to bless someone who came here today, too. Find a way to bless them. Even if they don't know it, that you did it. Find a way to bless them, and then find a way to bless the community center staff, the patrons of this place. Everyone can do that stuff all the time. And then you hear from time to time, here are some of the specific teams we've got. We put them in the bulletin now every week. If you'd like to get involved with one of these teams, just fill out a connection card, and we're not going to go, oh, yes. We'll be happy, but give it a try. Those are some ideas. Well, every fall, we encourage people to find a group and join a team. Today, I did my best shot at saying, here's why you should join a team. Next week, Nick Brannon will give the message, and he'll be sharing on why finding a group can be a good thing as well. Let's pray. Would you please stand as we close our service here today? I want to pray a blessing over us. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're an inviting God. In fact, thank you for bringing this reminder right now even. Lord, I thank you for that woman from, where was she from? In Africa. Ghana, I think she's from Ghana. Lord, thank you for that woman who came up after the service and said, in our country, you have to be invited into the kitchen. Thank you for that reminder, Lord, and thank you that you invite us in. You invite us to be a part of what you're doing. What an honor, what a privilege it is that you would think of us as your ambassadors, as your priests. And what a privilege it is that you call us your sons and your daughters. Father, may we offer ourselves to your service. May we dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you've made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great week. God bless you.